So again, taking an alert, upright posture. Spending a few moments engaging yourself with your posture so that your posture you have has some little bit of energy to it, a little bit engagement, like you see a young child that's really present, or even someone, an adult who's really, really present, it's sometimes expressed in their spine, kind of upright. Gently closing your eyes. And a very important quality of investigation, the subjective area of life that we can be aware of, is energy. Is our engagement, is the sense of energy, effort that's available, that's present. And just as you are right now, there is energy in your system, in your body, that holds you upright, keeps you present. Energy that goes into thinking or feeling or breathing. And there can be perhaps an energetic sense of presence. A sense of presence in almost like an energy body. With the eyes closed, all the sensations that you experience in your body are in one way or other manifestations of energy. There has to be energy somehow connected to presence of sensations, the experience of sensations, the field of energy. Even if you're tired, you might explore a little bit in your body to see where is the energy, the strongest sense of aliveness or vitality, where is it strongest in your body? In your belly, your spine, base of the spine, your hands or your feet, or your head or your heart, or is it equal throughout the body? Where's your greatest sense of vitality? And then into your field of energy, of aliveness, taking a few long, slow, deep breaths. Breathing deeply is the engagement of your energy, of effort. Perhaps breathing in, exhaling, will bring a little bit more vitality, your energy, to your body. As you breathe, be breathing into that place in your body where you feel the most vitality. Maybe like fanning the flames, breathing in refreshment. Maybe refreshment is a kind of relaxed way of being energized. Energized relaxation. As you breathe in a sense of refreshment throughout your body. Perhaps the energy of the body is felt like vibration, felt as vibration. As you breathe deeply, perhaps a sense of vibration can spread and flow throughout the body into the arms and hands, down to the legs and the feet. And then letting the breath be normal and relaxed. Establish your mindfulness, your presence, on the body's experience of breathing. The energetic sense of yourself is agitated, then as you exhale, let the exhalation relax the body, relax that energy field. If the energy, vitality in the body seems low, dull, then perhaps emphasize the inhale, feeling the uplifting of both the body and the energy in the body as you breathe in. The energizing, refreshing quality of inhale, or the relaxing quality of exhale, whatever quality needs it, you'd feel like you need. And then there's also a kind of mental energy or effort. that encourages us to engage in mindfulness. In this case, mindfulness of breath. Not agitated or pushing or trying too hard, but not holding back or being lazy. A kind of clarity or crispness. Here I am, present with this breath. The synonym used sometimes for energy is engagement. So really be engaged in this process of attending to the breath. And part of investigation is attending, noticing the quality of your effort. Doing so without judgment, but very gently being aware of the quality. Are you putting in, can you easily put in more effort, be more engaged? Or do you need to back off a little bit, be a little more at ease and not try so hard? Energy perhaps is a quiet, gentle strength, confidence. A strength that says calmly and gently, yes, I'm going to do this, this breath, this activity, this mindfulness. you can make the effort to quickly let go of anything that stands in the way of being mindful. Remembering always, if things don't fall away easily, that you can make that the object of mindfulness. Let go of anything, any way that you are, that prevents you from being mindful. Come back to presence, to awareness, here and now. Having a relaxed vigilance, so you notice quickly when your mind slips away from presence, from mindfulness. Even if staying mindful is difficult, it's still really a wonderful thing to engage in the process of trying to be mindful. Being attentive to any way in which you might feel discouraged, let go of that. And instead, appreciate that you're doing the best you can. Enjoy it. Arouse a little bit of sense of enjoyment, whether it's playful enjoyment or rapt attention, like you're really engaged here. Appreciate or enjoy, take delight. Engagement. as you experience your breathing, let yourself tune in to any part of the breath, the breathing experience, which might be enjoyable or pleasant. And let your presence, your investigation, your effort, your engagement, engage in that enjoyment or that pleasure of the breath, of breathing mindfully. Staying relaxed and at ease, ever so slightly turning up the corners of your mouth, ever so slightly, and letting that perhaps create a little bit more conditions for enjoyment or pleasure. You can enjoy this practice, enjoy the engagement, the investigation, the presence here. Engaging yourself enough with the mindfulness so you can be more in the present moment, more present here. Investigating it, being present, So you're not so caught by what's here. And so that you enjoy being present. It's a wonderful thing, even if it's uncomfortable. To be alive, to know you're alive by being mindful in this moment. So mindfulness practice is guaranteed not to work if you don't do it. So wishful thinking is not going to help. You got to do it. And doing it requires effort. There's no Buddhist practice without some kind of effort. However, a very important thing to investigate, to be aware of, the subjective sense of what is my effort like? Is it the right effort? It's too easy to be too strident, trying too hard, or it's too easy sometimes to try not try enough, to be complacent. Everything, whatever, everything's fine. I've been told I'm supposed to just accept things as they are. So things are just cool, I'll just go to sleep. You know, just kind of just drift off. And most meditators, sooner or later, will fall into the trap of complacency. It might be after some years of practice, but sooner or later, things get comfortable enough and calm enough that they kind of go, things are comfortable, and you get kind of lulled to a kind of sense of ease. And there has to be some engagement and attention given to the effort, the energy that we give. And so one of the factors of awakening is energy, strength, effort. And one of the things we're asked to do is to notice when it's there and also notice when it's not there. And again, it's one of these paradoxes. As soon as you notice it's not there, energy, there's a little bit of energy that goes into noticing that. So don't despair. But to notice, just that's very important to notice, the presence and absence of it. And that presence of absence of our energy, or different levels of energy, gives us the basic information that's needed for us to understand how we can prompt energy, how we can bring it up if it's not there. And also how we can cultivate and develop it so it becomes something that's really becomes a strength, strong. So again, being aware of then the conditions that bring about the energy, good energy. Sleep and right amount of food and exercise and and confidence in ourselves, confidence in the purpose of what we're doing. All those things are added to the energy. So having wisdom about how to make meditative effort is very important. If we don't make the effort the right way, we can end up in all kinds of problems. So having some basic wisdom, for example, of it's wise not to be judgmental, wise not to have a lot of expectations. Don't tie yourself to the goal. Then you might, you know, cause problems with the effort. The energy is very important, and I think anybody who meditates for a long time really needs to think and investigate in an intelligent way how they make effort and what's the different choices they have around effort and energy, and get a sense of the variations of effort and energy at different times to know exactly what's how to work with it. Energy and effort can vary even over a course of a day, what's available. If some people are more morning people and feel really alive and energized and engaged in the practice in a wholehearted way in the morning hours. But come the afternoon, that energy is not available. And so you feel tired and much more lethargic. It's not right or wrong to be one way or the other. It just, you know, if that's how your energy system works, then you've got to work with the energy you have available in the afternoon. The goal is to make our best effort given the effort, the energy that's available. So if there's low energy, you make your best effort with that. And so to know something about the energy and effort and the different qualities of it, different types of it, how to work with it, how to support it and cultivate it and develop it, are all part of the factor of awakening called energy. And so again, these factors of awakening are asking us to be intelligent, to be thoughtful or considerate or explore, to understand something, to be conscious, conscientious. And then the effort factor is the foundation, it's classically said, for joy, for piti. And there's many ways of understanding this joy practice. One of the classic ways is the connection between the idea of being rapt and rapture, rapt attention, and you know it's kind of connected to rapture. There's when you're really engaged wholeheartedly and come lost in your activity, and you know there's no resistance, no hesitations, no discouragement, no, you know, just completely engaged in what you're doing, there can be kind of a joy that arises, joy in that engagement, that kind of absorption. It's like reading a really good book, you know, and sometimes it can really be kind of, you don't think maybe at the time how enjoyable it is, but it's very relaxing, very engaging. So the same thing with meditation practice. One of the things we're trying to get to in meditation practice is at the point where we're engaged in our practice, whether it's with the breath or with the mindfulness of the body, whatever it might be, so that we actually give us the kind of energy or kind of attention, investigation. We turn ourselves over enough, surrender enough to that practice, that we're as raptly engaged in the practice as we are raptly engaged in a good book. So that, you know, we're reading a good book, you're not going to start thinking about your taxes. You know, and I read a good book, well, some people. It depends on the conditions of your taxes. And you know, some people actually will read a good book so they don't have to think about their taxes. They can get away. So one of the things we're kind of looking for in meditation practice, it might be long in the coming, so be very relaxed about it, but it is a kind of rapt engagement so that your mind is actually here and present and involved. And so it actually enjoys the process, enjoys what's going on. And you're not always going to have this. And so don't set it up as an expectation. But we're kind of moving in that direction. It's nice to know that's possible and that's kind of what we're doing. To know that's possible, you may be much more willing than to let go of your thoughts about your taxes. You know, because I realize, oh, that's not the point. The point is to be really here for this practice engaged. So so that's a kind of a part of this joy factor. There's a lot of things that feed to joy, and joy is a really important part of the Buddhist path. In fact, without sooner or later having some joy, there is no Buddhist path. You can't bring it to culmination. That doesn't mean you have to experience it today or tomorrow or this year, because some people have come with all kinds of conditions that have to be addressed. But to think about what brings joy in practice or in your life is very important. So if you stay strictly in Buddhist practice, some people will feel a lot of joy in being on a path that leads to liberation, or to be on a path with other people who share the same values. There's joy in being blameless, joy in having good ethics and integrity. Feeling the joy of that, it's delightful. It's joy to have good companions on the path, and good teachers. It's joy to have access to teachings. You know, those tremendous, wonderful translations of teachings from Asia, great masters who have their books. You know, you can go read. And even just reading, you know, two paragraphs a day can bring, you know, a certain kind of, you know, sense of gratitude and appreciation for what it is, what's coming your way. We take things so much for granted here in the West. It's so easy. Just go down to the bookstore, and there's shelf after shelf of, you know, spiritual books. You know, it's like, oh, you know, just another book, another teacher, another thing. And ah, you know, they're dime a dozen. But it's just, it's a phenomenal thing to have access to teachings like we do here in the West. And you know, people in not so long ago would travel days and days and days and days, months sometimes, to go find a really good teacher to be able to attend to their teachings, because they weren't available in Barnes & Noble. You know, you have to kind of make the effort, and to have that have this opportunity in this lifetime to practice, and just, you know, it's the best. So to avail yourself of joy, to allow yourself to feel some certain kind of delight or happiness, even if you're depressed, to maybe kind of little kind of crack of light can come into there. You know, it's, oh yeah, something, is it possible? And then, is there any pleasure or enjoyment in your practice at all, in your system at all? As I said in the beginning of the day, people often orient themselves to a certain reference point, or what they think their mind thinks is important. And so the reference point might be my tremendous sense of guilt. Like, that's really what's important to pay attention to, right? Being guilty. Like, you know, of course, I mean, that's what seems like the mind seems, the operating system of the mind seems to be operating on the assumption, the belief, the assumption, the clear knowledge, the clear, you know, that my guilt is the most important thing in the world to pay attention to. Everything else pales in significance. That's, you know, if you, you know, maybe. But actually, you know, who said that? There's no manual that says pay attention to guilt, or shame, or anxiety, or, you know, or all the injustices that have been done against you. Some people's operating system is tuning into all the injustices, all the ways that life has been unfair to me. That's really what you're required to do. If there was a manual, that's what the manual for human life would say. Focus as much as you can on all the unfairnesses that are done to you. So there's a lot of ways in which we select out of our experience things which are maybe not so helpful for us. And we overlook other things. And on the meditative path, there can be, it has to be done wisely, but there's a wise way of beginning to tune into the enjoyment and the pleasure, the pleasantness of our meditation practice. And if you're so fixated on the guilt, for example, you won't notice that there might be actually be a little bit of pleasantness. It could be just at the very end of the out-breath. There's a little kind of soft, kind of smooth letting go that happens there. So smooth, so such a delight. Or at the end of the out-breath, the pause before the in-breath, it's just like that quick. That little rest there, it's actually kind of nice. And even though most of the time I'm complaining to myself that I can't do this breath thing, so I don't even notice how nice it is in that little moment. Let me give myself just a little bit of attention to notice that little pleasantness at the end of the out-breath. So what I'm trying to say here is to, in a wise way, to begin opening up to the possibility of taking in the pleasure, the pleasantness, the joy, the delight that might be here, even if it's here in the most rudimentary way. Does that make sense? And then if it's possible to awaken joy by reflection, then that's also great to do. You can overdo it. You can be attached to it. you can be kind of sugarcoat life that way, which is not helpful. But there is a kind of way in which it's very maturing and very stabilizing and certainly helps the practice. It's a lot easier to do this practice if you're enjoying it. So where is the enjoyment? Can you find it? So this morning so far, we've introduced four different factors of awakening. Mindfulness, investigation, energy, and joy. So in the afternoon, we'll overlap some. We'll do joy, tranquility, concentration, and equanimity. And which is a lot to do. And you can't rush these things. So do what you need to do. So you can come back after our lunch break being crisp, clear, present, available to this process. If what you need to do is to eat really lightly, just eat a few nibbles. You can always nibble again later. You know, just eat a little bit. Don't eat a lot. Don't gorge. If what you need to do is to do some really vigorous walk, you know, go for a vigorous walk around the neighborhood here and just get the energy going again. If what you need to take a nap, then lay down here in the hall. And we'll wake you up when time comes to sit again. Maybe get some rest. Whatever you need to kind of take care of yourself so when we start again, you come kind of the best of your ability, kind of alert and ready and, you know, to do it with whatever is available to you. And if what's available to your energy is really low, because that's your way your cycles go, don't worry about it. Part of the practice is learning to work with the effort, the energy that's available, not working with what you wish was available. That doesn't work. So now I noticed when I said 15-minute breaks earlier that it stretched to 20 minutes. And so we're already running late. And if I make us even later by saying, let's start again at 1:15, 15 minutes for lunch, is that going to be too long? Or is that just right? And can we start then? So we can start at 1:15? You know, since energy is so important here, we want to be kind of start crisply. You know, let's just. And if you come late, then you missed that crisp beginning. That's all. So thank you. Let's keep it silent during lunch, and we can bring tables out in the outer hall or tables outside or whatever you would like to do. But let's try to keep it silent, and so we keep that contemplative spirit. Thank you.